Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, March 28th, 2016. Thank you for the program. We had a little bit of a computer snafu there. Not sure what's going on there, but we're all fine and dandy now, are we not, Al? Good afternoon.
I don't know if we're necessarily fine and dandy. We are improved from a couple of moments ago, and we'll see if it holds together.
All right. So
part of the mystery and the suspense of the program, Melody. Will we or will we not hold it together?
Well, we got an hour, so let's get started and let's just see what happens. We have gold today up 320 on gold at 1220. A little pressure earlier on in the day, but it reversed itself. Silver was pretty much unchanged today at 1531. Platinum was down 3,948 and palladium was down 7 at $571. The USDX today was down 0.32 at 95.95. Crude oil was down 0.10 at 39.36. And the markets today, I'm just going to let me see what I can do here. The Dow was up. The Dow was up 19 points. 17,535. The NASDAQ was down 6 at 4, 4,766. The S&P barely unchanged, 2,037. 10-year yield today, 1.88, and the euro at 1.11, almost 1.12. And that's a wrap, Al.
That's a wrap?
For the market updates.
I thought we were done for the day. I thought our program had concluded and it was time for me to move on. But I guess we have another 55 minutes to go, so we'll have to talk about something like the gloomy profit narrative underlying the economy and markets just isn't getting better. That's a headline from Yahoo Finance. It says, long-term outlook for corporate earnings growth seems to be deteriorating. This is all bad news considering that earnings are the most important drivers of stock prices. So what they're saying here, corporate earnings, their growth is deteriorating, and therefore this is going to contribute to a possible decline in the prices of stocks. The article continues. It says, last Friday, the Bureau of Economic Analysis released data showing that corporate profits had plunged 11.5% year over year during the fourth quarter of 2015. All right, corporate profits down almost 12% year to year. That's a significant decline. That's not just quibbling about whether it was up or down 1% or 2% or whatever. The article goes on, says much of the drop can be blamed on low prices in the energy sector. And we're talking about oil, of course, and the strong dollar on the export-driven manufacturing sector. Right, we're talking about inflation, and bear in mind we're talking about the fourth quarter of last year. We are now near the end, right at the end of the first quarter of 2016. This is the last quarter of last year. The link between profit margins and recession is strong. The current deterioration in profit margins has historically been an indicator of impending economic recession. All right. Typically, when we see corporate earnings declining significantly, it marks the onset of an economic recession. I would argue, and I would probably be mistaken, but I would argue we haven't been out of a recession since 2008. I know the government says
2001.
All right, 2001. Government says otherwise, and they are technically probably correct, but it still feels like the recession, you know. We may not be in a recession, but we certainly haven't been in anything that's a measurable recovery. And this has been less than a good time since 2008. Markets, not just markets, I mean, just the economy in general. It's not bad, not terrible, but it hasn't, you know, it hasn't been everything you could hope for. I wouldn't say we've been in a recovery. They wouldn't say we've been in a recession, but this article says we might be on the verge of another recession. So I don't know. Fill in the blank. You know, are we going into a recession or are we just going to keep the one we've got, Melody?
Well, I think the recessions change. And, I mean, and it's true, Frank wrote 1977 for the last recession. And you know, since we, you know, since they did close the gold window, and since we've had all this amount of debt created, and you can begin with 1987, since Reagan did the so-called plunge protection team, the working group of financial markets, every recession we've had, we've only created bubbles to camouflage the recession that we're in. And
we're
the
in a Lawrence Welk economy, Melody.
Yeah.
Somebody turn off the bubble machine.
So the recessions have never gone away. The bubbles have to be created by a larger one. And this is, you know, you can watch from 1987, the various bubbles and how they burst. And we're at another bubble that is ready to burst. And so this one will be the mother of all bubbles and the mother of all bursts. And, perhaps we might get to a point where we can actually, well, they will have to address it to where perhaps we can actually you know, if the system collapses, they will be forced into creating a different system. But, you know, when you talk about corporate profits, and you have to remember, too, these corporations, the strong dollar has really hit them hard in their profit area. Not only that, they borrow money.
If they're an export.
Well, these multinational, you know, a lot of them are. But still, you have their borrowing money to buy their shares to keep the numbers high. And even Caterpillar came out a couple of weeks ago, and they're telling the analysts, hey, you know, lower your expectations because we're not going to be able to beat the numbers that you're giving us. And that's all, you know, it's really such a joke. There isn't any truth. There isn't any reality. You know, these analysts and markets on Wall Street will give a number. The companies will try to beat or match, and everyone's happy.
It's kind of like a game show.
It is.
Who's that number?
Number.
Yeah. And they will set up a number, and then if you can beat the number, you will get out. Well, I don't know. Your stock value will go up. But if you fail to beat the number, your stock number will go down. Part of what we're talking about is we have a stock market that is not simply based on what is, but it's also based on what is expected. An analyst expects a particular stock, it's going to go up 2.5%. Okay, if it goes up 2.5%, everybody's happy. If it doesn't go up 2.5%, the stock price of the stock goes down. If it does more than 2.5%, the stock goes up even more. I don't know that the market should be predicting. I guess it has to. But it seems it would be easier if the markets just reacted to what is, not what is expected to be. And, of course, that's an unreasonable expectation on my part. So I guess we just have to – my expectations are probably unreasonable, and the market's expectations are amusing. And it would be better if they were – If mine were more amusing and theirs were more irrational, it would make better sense, perhaps. But at the end of this article, one of the people talked to is they estimate there's a 26% probability that the U.S. economy goes into a recession within 12 months. Well, 26 doesn't impress. 26%, you know, nothing to sneeze at. But if that's the only, if all we're looking at is a chance in four over the course of the next 12 months that there's going to be a recession, I don't think that's a surprise. I don't think that's by itself. I don't think it's cause for any more pessimism than we had last month or the month before, whatever. It looks like we're just going to limp along here for a while. The earnings you're seeing here are benefiting, and it says in the article, the earnings you are seeing are benefiting from unusually favorable accounting adjustments.
That's
cooking the books.
Exactly.
You know, we should have a book of our own. How to cook the books. All right, little recipes for dealing with, I don't know, accounting for corporations and for governments, and how to take a bad set of numbers and make them far more palatable.
You know, sometimes we make a little light of this as far as what really builds Wall Street. What is Wall Street? What are these corporations and their money and their profits and so forth? But there's a lot of people in there that have a lot of money in their pension plans, their retirement plans, that feel they don't have options. And it's not only that they don't feel they have options, it's they have financial planners that are not giving them options, what they can do to protect their money. And folks, for those of you that fit into that category, you do have an option. You control your money. You can tell them to do what you want them to do when it comes to your finances and get it protected. Pull it out of the paper, and we're not financial planners. I have to make that statement. These are our opinions, but based on everything that I've done for years and years and years and years, you have to insure your paper investments, because what is Wall Street going to give you? People have been in there, been fortunate. They've been lucky. And, I mean, And it can't continue. I mean, we're going to talk about civil unrest. We look at these elections. We see what's happening. And, it seems like the markets just are able to regain their losses and people become comfortable.
Complacent.
With Wall Street, knowing that Wall Street and government are working together. Because
to fix the books.
To fix the books
and to maintain an illusion of prosperity. And as long as they are successful in maintaining that illusion, everybody's pretty much happy, complacent, and optimistic about the future. And we're sitting here and we're looking at what we perceive to be, I don't know, objective reality. We make mistakes, I'm sure, but we are looking at what we think is objective reality. We're looking at fundamentals and we're saying, look, this thing is not going to float all the way to New York. You understand? It has a hole in the bow from hitting an iceberg. And I agree that there's still time to catch a couple of fast, champagne or beer or whatever you like at the bar. But the ship is going, it's going to go down. And that's what we're trying to communicate to people. And it's not a question of trying to present doom and gloom. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to present something that's pessimistic. We're trying to tell you that there is an objective reality out here that, in our opinion, runs contrary to what you hear from the government and maybe from Wall Street and certainly from and much of the mainstream media. And while they're telling you happy days are here again, and in fact, they've never been unhappy, we're sitting back and saying, no, I think there's a problem here. And the problem is so serious that we think you would do well to kind of look into things yourself and make up your own mind. Do you agree with us? Do you agree with the government? If you agree with the government, then life goes on as it has over the course of the last few years. If you agree with us, it means that you need to prepare for what may be a difficult time ahead. And we're seeing report after report. We just said one that they anticipate a recession in the next 12 months, 25-26% chance of recession in the next 12 months. We see the financial news is littered with these reports, and it has been probably since the beginning of this year at least. There's been a big increase in the number. Oh, my gosh, this whole thing's coming to an end and not too long from now. I don't know if it's coming to an end, but I know there's a lot of people who think so, or at least coming to very difficult times. And all we're trying to do is alert people, look, I think there's a problem coming. Be a good idea to get ready. Be a good idea to get prepared. And so we do the program and try to communicate that idea to folks. And what can I tell you? Here's one more little article that we've got before we go to break. Atlanta Fed sees first quarter U.S. GDP growth of less than 1%. This is from Reuters. Right? This is the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank. U.S. economy is growing at a pace below 1% in the first quarter following data that showed sluggish consumer spending and a large trade gap in February. This is from the Atlanta Federal Reserve GDP Now forecast model. The 0.6% annualized pace for the U.S. gross domestic product seen in the first 3 months of 2016 was slower than the regional Fed's prior estimate of 1.4% on March 24th. They estimated, here we are on the 28th, on the 24th, they estimated 1.4%. On the 28th, they now say, nope, it's 0.6%. I don't know. All by itself, that's a kind of news to me. This thing changed by 0.8%, right, in 4 days. This does not inspire confidence. All right? You would think that somebody, they would be able to do a better job of estimating, guesstimating, whatever, 4 days from when the guesstimate until they get actual results. I don't know. You would hope that they could do a better job. The one point about it is this. If the growth is 6% or 0.6% on an annual basis, that is not cause for celebration. The economy is slowing. at least in the first quarter. We'll watch and see what happens in the rest of the year, but it's consistent with the idea that we're getting closer and closer and closer to some sort of a difficult time. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, you wanted to talk a little bit about the Clinton email probe.
Yeah, this is, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this at times, but this is, here's the headline: Clinton email probe, FBI to interview Clinton aides. Now, I've seen people, including Judge Napolitano, he said the aides better be careful during these interviews because the FBI will, I mean, you talk to these people and whatever you say can and will be used against you. And they say this is an interview, and it could be just an opportunity for you to make confessions that can get you sent up the river. So that's one side on it. But here's another article, and it says the FBI is setting up interviews with a number of Hillary Clinton's aides as part of an investigation into Clinton's handling of classified materials on her private email server. This is from the Los Angeles Times. The interviews and the ensuing parts of the cases are likely to continue well into the presidential primary season. No dates have been set for the interviews, and the FBI may also plan to interview Clinton. Now, it's, you know, as you read this article, it moves from point to point. And when it says the FBI may also plan to interview Clinton, it implies they are not planning at this moment. They might plan in the future, but at least they haven't released their intention to interview Hillary. That's the implication of the article. And if they're not going to interview her, it doesn't indicate, it certainly indicates that they're not going to prosecute her. That's the way it appears to me. Nevertheless, in theory, the interviews of Clinton aides, it could signal that there's still prosecution on way, but the FBI submitted a declaration about the pending investigation. The public statement said the FBI can't release records about its probe without adversely affecting the investigation. And then it goes on. Experts told the Times that Clinton appears unlikely to face prosecution. We've got a guy, American University law professor Stefan Vladek. He says the facts of the case do not fit the law. Reasonable folks may think that federal law ought to prohibit what Clinton did, but it's just not clear to me that it currently does. Now, who is Vladek? He's a law professor. And more to the point, is he a Clinton supporter or a Clinton detractor, or is he an objective analyst? But he says the facts of the case do not fit the law, and reasonable folks may think the law ought to prohibit what Clinton did, but it's just not clear to me that it currently does. That's not a powerful statement, especially when he says it's just not clear to me. Well, if something is not clear to one person, well, that's kind of interesting on one level. And he's a law professor. We give it a certain amount of credence. But the question is it interesting to a Barack Obama and or the Attorney General Janet Lynch? I can't think of Lynch's first name. I guess it's not Janet, but I can't think of it right now.
Loretta,
Mike's mistake, yeah. But in any case, the odds really do look like Clinton's not going to be prosecuted. It says the case seeks to determine if Clinton and her aides distributed sensitive materials knowingly from her private server, which was outside the department's secured system. Clinton has denied sending out emails that were marked as classified. The FBI is likely nearing the end of the investigation, said James McLunkin, the former chief executive of the FBI's Washington field office. The interviews are critical to understand the volume of information that they have collected to decide whether there is a prosecutable case. Doesn't sound like there's a prosecutable case. It sounds like there's certainly reasonable doubt at this point in time, and it looks like Hillary is going to skate. And, you know, as much as I would like to see Hillary, you know, prosecuted for this, the way this article reads, maybe there's no basis for prosecuting her. But if there is no ground for prosecuting Hillary, why has this thing dragged on for so long? Somebody should have been able to see early on, if this law professor is correct and he's saying, look, the facts don't fit the law, all right, the law does not apply to the facts that we have here. Somebody should have picked up on this before now, or at least I think someone should have. Why is this dragged on? It's, you know, you look at it and it's difficult to know. Is the mass of material, the mass of email, there were allegedly 3,871 pages of Clinton's email. Was it such a mass and so difficult to read and so on that you just couldn't reasonably make a decision on whether you should prosecute, you shouldn't prosecute, just because of the mass of information? Or is the fix in, or was the prosecution politically motivated in the first place? You know, I wish you could do these things and we could look at it and have some measure of confidence that whatever was going on was legitimate. If she's not guilty, then leave her alone.
Well, I mean, that's just...
If she is guilty, prosecute her.
That's just the way, you know, these investigations go. I was wrong.
Don't go that way if you're dealing with a black person, a poor person, you know, some white
person. No, but we're not. But we're not. And I mean, I could remember when Ken Starr was doing when he was in charge of the investigation for Bill Clinton or the prosecution. I mean, there were sometimes you think, what? Here the guy's got all this information. Like, what's he dragging his feet for? But my question is, I knew. I'm amazed, and I was wrong. I never thought Hillary would advance this far in an election. I didn't think she'd run. I thought she had too much baggage, and when she did, all this other stuff came out with Benghazi and everything else. I didn't think she'd get this far. But I do remember, and I've said this before on the program, before she made her announcement that she was going to have a campaign for president, she was going to be a candidate, she had gone to the White House. 2 or 3 days later, she made the announcement. So there was an agreement there that whatever happened, they wouldn't prosecute her. They wouldn't indict her. My question is, what the heck has she done? How has she helped the elite for them to support her to this degree? With all the baggage that she's got, you would think, well, you know, we're going to find someone better to run for the – I mean, but yet they still push her. They protect her. I'm thinking, what did she do to earn it? You know, what did she do? I mean
– she's probably got a collection of data on a number of people that if something happens to her, information will be revealed on them. I don't know that that's true, but it's a sort of thing.
I don't know if anything would happen to her, but they just support her, and it's like everything just, you know, rolls off of her.
Well, you know, we've talked a little about this before the program began. Trump has been an exciting candidate, and I was initially delighted with Trump, but some of his remarks lately, they don't please me. I mean, the guy is he's making statements that indicate at times that he has the mindset of an out-and-out fascist, or he just doesn't get it, and he's willing to say things that are going to alienate some people in this. Some people in this country are going to be alienated. I mean, a lot of people have been alienated by Trump from the beginning. I'm not one of them, but I'm beginning to be a little bit, you know, he's a little bit too outrageous. And on the other hand, we've got him running. But if you don't like him, you can vote for Cruz, who impresses me as a man who could take lessons in ethics from Bill Clinton. Right? Cruz does not impress me as a good candidate. Right? I would absolutely vote for Trump before I'd ever vote for Cruz. But I don't feel comfortable necessarily with either of them.
But they're bad in different ways.
They're bad in different ways, but the problem is, why can't we get a couple of candidates that are actually good? Why do we
on either side?
You know, we've talked for years that you vote for the lesser of the two evils. Okay, but it was not obvious. They didn't have signs on where they're parading around saying, yes, I'm a Satanist. I'm more evil than the other SOB. Or, you know, they were not as obvious about it. Today, we just take it for granted. We have gangsters, thugs, crazy people running for the presidency. And nobody seems to mind. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made. Maybe what I just look. Let's just forget the primary we've had up until now and start all over. Start a new primary. There's time. We could run it. We could have the national conventions for the Republicans and for the Democrats. Instead of in July, we could have them in September or October. All right? And we could try to get some good candidates. But do we have any good candidates? Is there anybody we can put up there? Like Hillary Clinton? I mean, good God. I don't even know where to start. How did she ever get to where she could run for president? I mean, she makes her husband look like a moral man. And I'm waiting. The big headline coming from Hillary, if she gets elected as president, all right? How long before we hear her repeat her husband's most famous line? I did not have sex with that woman. Watch and see. If Hillary gets elected, I'll bet you we see that. We'll hear it. And we'll hear Hillary say, I did not have sex with that woman. I don't know. You would think that you could guess someone who at least acted like they were, that they had some measure of honesty and integrity. And we don't even get that. We don't even get that. What we have is a stable of candidates who belong in the National Enquirer. That is their national newspaper. Good grief. So what are we going to get? Well, somebody's going to be president after, you know, starting in January of next year, we'll have a new president in office. But good Lord, what will we have? And will it do us any good at all? Or I don't know. It's become, you know, you look at it, and this is something to do. I don't know if it just is the system itself. It's the two parties. I don't know who to blame, who to point the finger at. But somebody needs to pay. You understand that, Melody? Somebody needs to be held accountable for this.
Well, you know, what's also amazing about Hillary is when you listen to her, I mean, that woman has no, I mean, you can, when you tell her her polls about honesty, like she's down in the 20%, now it doesn't, it's like, so what? I mean, it's.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's one of, and that's one of the things that bothers me about it. None of these people have any shame.
No.
You can't shame these people in anything. I mean, people are talking about Trump's wife posed in the nude, very nearly so. All right, so the first lady, we're going to have pictures if Trump is elected. We're going to have pictures of the first lady of the United States on a bearskin rug wearing nothing. All right, that's great. That does say, you know, I mean, that. What have we got with Obama? Most of the people listening to the program have probably seen pictures of Obama's mother. Nude pictures, prostitution, blah, 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 whatever.
I didn't see that.
Right? There's no question. This isn't Photoshop or something. This is his mother was there. And then you can point back. You can go to Laura Bush and you can shame her because she married a moron. Right, Laura Bush, how shameful. She married an idiot. Right?
No,
and then we've got the Clintons, for God's sake, and who is more shameful out of those? And we don't have anybody who has just come up with, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed by my past that I'm not going to run. I'm going to drop out of the race. Uh-uh. The people that are in this race, they don't care what they've done. They have no sense of shame. I would like to see some candidates who could blush. I'd like to see some of them who actually, you know, tried to maintain a semblance of some sort of moral behavior. And it does not appear that any of them, you know, they'll talk about it. They talk about it, some of them. But others, they don't even talk about it. But I don't see that any of them are necessarily living it. And we can just sit here and wonder what's going to happen to our country. Where do we find candidates who really care about the general welfare of the United States of America? Anybody? You know, I really think some people think that the Trump candidacy is going to cause such an enormous division in the Republican Party that it won't be healed and the Republicans may cease to exist. Maybe we need a third party. Right? Maybe we really, really need a third party. We need to just walk away and start a third party that was for the American people and not for special interests of the Democrats or the Republicans, for the American people, and get it going, and we'll do the best we can in the 2018 election and the 2020 election, and we'll just see if we can maybe save this country. But I don't know that the Republicans or the Democrats are going to do us any good, intend to do us any good, can do us any good. Let's take a break for some more commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Thank you.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to, an update. Well, this was actually came out on Friday. I don't think we discussed it on Friday, but they did revise the GDP numbers. Once again, this is the third GDP estimate, and I guess that is the final one for the
final for the fourth quarter.
So they say the GDP increased at 1.4% annual rate instead of the previously
the fourth quarter of last year.
Correct. Previously reported was the 1.0%, and this was released by the Commerce Department today in their third GDP estimate. And it was initially estimated at 0.7%. So, you know.
If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah.
They keep on trying until they get something. We have a caller, if I understand correctly. Is Rob West here?
Oh.
Hello, Rob.
Yep, I'm on. Hi, Al.
What up?
Hi, guys.
How are you doing, Melody?
Just great, thanks.
You guys You've been having way too much fun discovering all of the politics again, like every 4 years it happens, you know?
Yeah, and, I understand.
I thought I'd share. Over the weekend, I may have sent you some information about a group out of Texas called AmericaAgain.net.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most interesting answer to these things I've ever seen because, like we discussed on the show a week or so back, we're looking in the library and we don't have the right books. You know, they've been jiggled on us since about the time of Abraham Lincoln, and it's just turned into a mess. And every 4 years we get caught up into this routine. So, yeah, maybe there's another approach out there.
Well, it may be. And when you talk about the books have been jiggled, we had some people brought their research to me back in 1991. They had been sitting in a library in Belfast, Maine, if I recall, Maine for sure, and I think the city was Belfast. And it was one of the oldest libraries in the United States. It had been there from before the American Revolution. And they asked the librarian to get the oldest copy of the Constitution she had. And she brought it out, and they looked through it, It was in a book form, and they looked through it, and it was published, I don't remember the year, but shortly after the Bill of Rights was added, and it included a 13th Amendment that is no longer on our Constitution. And they thought, what the heck is this? It was a man named Tom Dunn and David Dodge. Tom Dunn was a former police officer, retired police officer. Dodge was a researcher. Dodge drove around the country from library to library looking for evidence of this missing 13th Amendment. And I wound up writing a small book on the subject after they submitted the research. And the amendment would have prevented special interest legislation. People look at it, and it would prevent people from taking titles of nobility, like being a licensed attorney, and people thought that was the big news. And the real important purpose, if this amendment had remained on the Constitution, it would have prevented special interest legislation. And they found 26 separate states and territories that at one time or another had published this amendment as ratified over a period of something like 1812 to 1810 on up to, maybe 1870, 76, something like that, I think was the last time it was seen. Well, Dodge, we got this information out. I wrote a number of articles on it, made a small book on it, provided photocopies of all the documents that Dodge had collected over the years. Dodge went back to the same libraries a few years later to look for the information a second time, and every library he visited, the information had been removed. The documents that had copies of this missing 13th Amendment had been removed, and it's pretty good evidence that it wasn't just some crackpot story. If it was just a crackpot story, nobody would bother to remove the relevant evidence. The fact that the evidence was removed from every library he visited, been through there once, found 26 separate states and territories that had published this as a valid amendment at one point or another, and then he goes back, finds no evidence. I mean, it's chilling. It's the sort of thing where people in government or in something are essentially deleting elements of our history from our libraries in order to prevent us from learning our own history. And I don't know that the 13th Amendment, there is some debate whether this 13th Amendment was or was not ever properly ratified. There was a question of the whole thing hinged on whether or not Virginia voted or did not vote to ratify, and the evidence was not clear at the time. It certainly looked as if they did, but they could not find the actual document where they voted, yeah, this is a we'll vote for this amendment. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, if it happened with what's come to be called the missing 13th Amendment, there's no telling how many documents are being revised in order to create a history for us that's not true. A myth. You know, I don't know that history is ever exactly true, but it's not necessarily mythical. There's some basis for it. So, in any case, your notion that the evidence is changing right before our eyes, I've seen that.
Well, you know, Melody, I thought it might be interesting to know if you had any response to your one show when you offered up to do some educational webinars and things like that. Has the audience responded at all to anything like that?
That was just about a little bit of a week ago. So,
we had one reply. I don't remember who it was. I can't remember exactly what was said. There was one or two replies, but, there was not a groundswell where it looked like it was going to sway the election in November.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing about politics, there is a lesson, and there's something to bear in mind always with politics. It is unfortunate that people look at elections as singular events that take place all by themselves. And we focus on what's going to happen in this election, and a lot of people, they don't want to waste their vote, so they're going to vote for whoever it looks like it's going to win, rather than doing what they think might be best. And politics is not an event, it's a process. Whoever gets elected or rejected in November of this year is going to help determine who will be elected or rejected in 2018 and in 2020. All right? And you got to bear that in mind. When you cast your vote this year, you are ultimately casting a vote that will have influence on what's going to happen 2 years from now and 4 years from now and on into the future. You can't just look at it for right now. You have to take a little longer view, and you have to be involved in this political mess, whether you like it or not. You got to pay attention, and if you don't, we wind up with the kinds of problems we have right now. People, you know, where do we find an honorable candidate? Maybe, I don't know. I don't know when the last time was we had any, but we certainly appeared to have had a few. Reagan comes to mind. We can debate whether he was or was not as honorable as some people thought, but he certainly acted like he was. These people celebrate it, you know. They come on, they say, I'm running from the Bloods, and the other guy says, I'm running for the Crips. You know, who are you going to vote for?
Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd offer up a little information about AmericaAgain.net, and then I just had limited time today, but are there any specials going on today, Melody?
Well, we have a lot of specials going on. We had a little bit of some of our packages from last week are still continuing, so folks need to pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. So, yeah, we got a lot of packages going on, some small ones involving $20 gold pieces. And really, there's a prime buy for Mint State 61 $20 gold pieces. I mean, you're talking for a Canadian maple leaf, which is priced a little bit less than what an American gold eagle is, $20 gold pieces are only $100 more. I mean, that is such an incredible buy. Anytime it dips to this level, it's a time to buy. What's the point of buying bullion coins when you could buy Mint State 61 $20 gold pieces for $100 more? And for a gold eagle, it would probably be, you know, you'd be looking at a price, you know, spread of less than $100. So it's a tremendous buy for Mint State 61 $20 Liberties and St. Gaudens. I'd be buying those all day long.
Well, you kind of are, Melody, because that's the business you're
in. Well, I do.
Mm-hmm.
On a personal basis, yeah, they're a terrific buy.
All right, Rob, anything else for us?
No, we're good. We might be making a little portfolio change here, Melody, so I might be giving you a call on some ideas. And
okay.
But I appreciate you guys. You got a lively show today, so... Thanks for taking a little time with me.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye, guys.
Okay. What do we got? A couple of minutes left. Here's one from the street. Here's a headline from the street. Week ahead, energy sector's debt bomb ready to explode. This is another one of the leaves in the breeze. This is not doom and gloom, but it's simply, hey, this is what's going on. All right? You can't, if someone is going to come screaming out of the hold of the Titanic, say, run, run, it's going to sink, for God's sake. This is not doom and gloom. This is handling objective evidence. Look, you need to be careful. Something's going on. Something's wrong. The clock is ticking louder and more heavily for heavily indebted oil and gas companies, as well for the banks with the highest ratio of energy loans. Many of these energy and financial service stocks are so deeply in debt, they'll remain toxic investments throughout the year, even if oil prices rebound. After a brief rally fueled hopes of a lasting turnaround last week in the oil business, oil prices tumbled again, and supply glut, and that's the big deal right now, returned. On Friday, West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. benchmark, closed at 39.46, down about 2.4% for the week. The main culprit, the U.S. Energy Information Administration, reported that the crude oil reserves rose for the sixth consecutive week last week, marking another new record. With refining overcapacity likely a problem for the next half decade, Energy companies that overexpanded at the most reckless pace are now paying the piper. If prices stay low and economic indicators turn sour, the energy industry will see a wave of defaults and bankruptcies that will weigh upon the broader markets. Analysts expect at least 500 energy companies to go bankrupt in 2016 as meeting debt obligations becomes impossible. The number of energy loans that are in danger of default could soar above 50% this year, posing huge problems for several major banks. The total debt in the entire oil and gas sector reached $3 trillion in 2014, or about three times the amount of the debt in 2006. So the point being, you know, we see this is more evidence. This is potentially one of those black swans we hear about that could cause something flies in that was unexpected, and one way or another, it trips the domino effect, and we wind up having a serious problem, maybe a minor calamity, maybe a major calamity. All right? This could be one of the, this could be a black swan, this could be a duckling. It's hard to say, but we keep on seeing problem after problem after problem accumulate, and as we do, it becomes increasingly probable that the issues that we're facing are going to combine. There's going to be a perfect storm here in the future. And it's hard to find many silver linings in the clouds, which again brings us back. Don't want to do doom and gloom, but geez, you know, if the water's pouring into the hull of the ship, it's somebody needs to say something and warn people, get your life preserver, get into a lifeboat. We're going to have a problem here. The ship is not designed to take on water at this rate, and yet it does appear to be taking on water, and often in the form of debt. National debt, energy debt, private individual debts, mortgage debts. We are so deeply in debt, there's no way we're ever going to be able to pay our way out of this thing. Sooner or later, there has to be a major default. And when it takes place, those of you that are holding your wealth in the form of paper are going to lose your assets. Those of you that are holding your wealth in the form of something tangible, like gold or silver, will have a high probability of being able to get by and maybe even prosper during the coming possible calamity. So we're out of time. Melody, did you want to say something quickly before we go, or shall we vamos?
Vamos.
Okay, let's vamos. All right, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too fast.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd stroll around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money, always sunny.